Cotton Pick and Fight.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The U.S. and Brazil have been battling over cotton subsidies for about 6 years now. The U.S. has been losing, and things might get a lot worse. Today, Brazil said it will ask the World Trade Organization to punish the U.S. with billions of dollars in sanctions. Stephen Beard has more.
This long-running dispute over American cotton is coming to a head. The WTO has decided the U.S. is still breaking the rules by subsidizing its cotton exports. Brazil, the main complainant, wants blood. The country's asked the WTO again to authorize up to $4 billion worth of sanctions against the U.S. If approved, this would mean Brazil raising its tariff on a range of different American imports by that amount. That could be quite a blow, especially to American companies that own intellectual property rights in things like computer software. Brazil wants to target copyright, patents and trademarks. The U.S. says the WTO ruling is unfair. A final decision on the level of sanctions is expected later this year. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
In 1969, there was an oil spill off the coast of Santa Barbara. It helped inspire the Clean Water Act and a ban on offshore drilling in California. But last night, Santa Barbara County leaders voted in favor of reversing that ban. The board doesn't have any authority here. It's a state law. But the county will send a letter to Governor Schwarzenegger saying that drilling is safer now and necessary in these economic times. The price of oil is up a bit this morning to $117 a barrel. As for the stock markets, mixed results in Asia today. The Nikkei fell a tad. Hong Kong shares were higher. In Europe, stocks are 1% lower so far. The Dow is at 11,412. It gained 26 points yesterday, a small fraction. The S&P 500 had a small gain. The NASDAQ, a small loss. Here's something that might restore your faith in corporate America. A new survey finds that many companies are helping their employees with the cost of gasoline. This comes from the consulting firm Mercer. Nancy Marshall Genzer has more.
Mercer polled more than 300 companies in July. Nearly a quarter are introducing four-day work weeks for the first time. Another 24% are offering telecommuting. That's not practical for, say, hospitals. But Steve Gross with Mercer says they're offering prepaid gas cards instead.
They didn't want to raise salaries. They didn't want to make it a permanent expense. But they also could do this as a one-off kind of activity.
Gary Chason teaches labor relations at Clark University. He says he's never seen so many employers helping workers save on gas. But he wonders if paring the work week down to 4 10-hour days is productive.
And you have to really ask, what will be done in those extra 2 hours that the person is at the plant? Does that really make a full day's work?
But some employers are so desperate not to drive workers away from far-flung jobs, they'll do anything. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
And here's something that won't restore your faith in corporate America. Citigroup has agreed to pay $18 million for stealing from its customers. Now, the bank didn't call it stealing. It was called account sweeping. So if you accidentally paid too much money to your credit card account, Citigroup would wipe out that positive balance and keep the money. California investigated and yesterday said Citigroup will give refunds to thousands of people across the country. The state says Citigroup preyed on poor people and the recently deceased. The bank doesn't agree with that assessment. It says it voluntarily stopped sweeping in 2003, 12 years after the program started.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, global provider of fuels, power, and energy services. Committed to sound, efficient, sustainable energy solutions. Constellation.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation. Online at kauffman.org. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management. Online at shrm.org.
The two big food stories of the past year have been food prices and the carbon footprint of food production. One of our commentators, Will Wilkinson, just moved from Washington, D.C. to America's heartland. The Eat Local movement he discovered in Iowa got him thinking.
The food co-op in my new hometown offers buttons, bags, and newsletters coaxing customers to eat local. The deli counter helpfully enumerates the food miles of the various goods on offer. That's the distance traveled from farm to market. The new Oxford American Dictionary's word of the year for 2007 was, yes, locavore. Local food is often better tasting and more nutritious. That's a pretty good reason to pay more for it. Maybe you want to support small local farms. Go ahead, if that's your bag. But don't think going local does much to reduce your carbon footprint. And it shouldn't do much to ease your conscience. How far your food travels matters a lot less than what kind of food it is, or how it was produced. According to a recent study out of Carnegie Mellon University, the distance traveled by the average American's dinner rose about 25% from 1997 to 2004 due to increasing global trade. But carbon emissions from food transport saw only a 5% bump thanks to the efficiencies of vast cargo container ships. A tomato raised in a heated greenhouse next door can be more carbon intensive than one shipped halfway across the globe. And cows spew a lot more greenhouse gas than hens or kumquats, so eating just a bit less beef can do more carbon-wise than going completely local. It's complicated. But one thing is clear enough. The farmers in Mexico, China, and Brazil, who produce a lot of the imported food Americans eat, are poorer than the farmers here in Iowa. A lot poorer. The corollary of eat local is don't eat Mexican, so to speak. But the way poor people get less poor is to do business with people who have a lot of money, like us. If the local stuff is mouthwatering, you might as well pony up. But if your salad is made with Mexican lettuce, savor your righteousness.
Will Wilkinson is a research fellow at the Cato Institute. You can find a link to his blog and share your thoughts at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.